Welcome to What's Working. Let's light this candle. I'm Cam Marston. Thank you so much for joining us. What's Working is your favorite radio show slash podcast that focuses on the workplace, the workforce, and the marketplace trends that are shaping the workplace, the workforce, and the marketplace around us. I try to find guests that will join us on the show that will talk about the trends shaping their business. And what I want them to do in our conversation is to explain the trends that are shaping their business in such a way that you can scratch your chin or rub your head and say, you know what? I've noticed that in my business, and I think their advice on how to react to that trend is something I can apply to my own workplace. That's the goal. You'll find this show, obviously, as a radio show if you're listening as it's being broadcast, but also as a podcast. You can go to whatsworkingcam.com, and from time to time, we'll do an extended edition where the radio show, just due to the limits of the time we're given on the radio show, doesn't allow us to get into everything, and we have to then work another conversation with that guest into the podcast, which we did last week, and I saw those podcast numbers jump as we talked about the Veterans Recovery Group. That was such a compelling story of who they are and what they do and some of the stories of how they've helped the veterans out there. And as I say this, you probably know this already, but this is a pre-recorded show. Memorial Day weekend is right around the corner from me as we record this. That veterans recovery conversation kind of resonates with that. Let me give you a sense of something that we've got upcoming, and I hope you'll want to join us in this. This will be a something a little different. We've not done this before. Remember this book title. It's called The Author versus Editor Dilemma, The Leadership Secret to Unlock Your Team, Your Time, and Your Impact. The author is Brandon Smith, and in 1 week's time, I had two or three people refer this book to me as something that I need to look into. And as I sit here right now recording, I'm holding that book in my hand. It arrived last week, I believe, and I've kind of poked through it. But next week, after the Memorial weekend, I'm going to start digging into it, making notes, etc. And the reason I say that is this. The week of June 17th, more likely towards the weekend where this show is broadcast, I'm thinking the 21st, 22nd, probably 22nd and 23rd of June, is when the show will broadcast where I focus on the book with the editor, Brandon Smith himself. What we're going to do is get him on a Zoom call along with an executive coach that uses this book frequently, along with one of the executive coach's students, if you will, who has used this book frequently. And he told me, his name is Philip Burton, he keeps the book on his desk and refers to it often. What I want you to do is join us in this conversation, and between now and then, order the book, The Author versus Editor Dilemma. You can find it online, read it, and send me your questions for the author. You can email me at cam, C-A-M, at cammarston.com. I'll say it again, cam, C-A-M, at cammarston.com. For editors of the author and me, plus these three guests, the author, the coach, and the participant, the student, we'll discuss your question, have the editor, or the author rather, go through it. So join us in what will be, I think, our first book report. We've had a lot of authors on the show, but the first time we've discussed the book with consumers of the book at the same time. The show today is with Scott McCain, and I'll tell you a quick story about Scott. I'm very excited about this. I met Scott. I've always heard of him. He's a very powerful, effective, busy speaker and consultant. And it was in Boston one time that I saw him walking the other way at the Boston Convention Center, and I stepped in front of him and introduced myself. Now, this guy has the chops to be very short with a chump like me. He was the nicest guy in the world, really kind, really nice. And I continue to follow him online on LinkedIn, etc. And I reached out to him several weeks ago now and said, hey, Scott, you may not remember me. I'd love to interview you on this radio show for your content around distinction. He said, absolutely. We'll have Scott McCain on the show when we come back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston.
Thank you. This is Seth Cherniak, Vice President of Branch Development for the Jeffrey Matthews Financial Group. If you're an experienced financial advisor wanting the freedom of independence but aren't sure making that jump is right for you, we should talk. Jeffrey Matthews has developed a successful program for advisors who don't want to be 1099 contractors and don't want to pay for their own overhead. We're looking for advisors who want the freedom to run their business the way they see fit with the support that comes with a W-2 firm. If you're interested in joining one of our branches, or if you want to open your own branch as a full-time employee, let's chat. Our compensation plan is one of the most competitive among all W-2 firms, big or small. Reach out to us today at jeffreymatthews.com, connect with me, Seth Cherniak, on LinkedIn, or click the link in the podcast.
Jeffrey Matthews Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC. We're back. You're listening to What's Working. Thank you so much for joining me. I promised a good one this week, and I've got him on the other side of a Zoom call, Scott McCain. Scott, in the intro, you didn't hear this, but I told him about the time you and I met in the Boston Convention Center. You likely don't remember. You meet so many people all the time.
No, I totally remember the LPL event.
Yes, yeah. Exactly right. You have a reason to not have to be kind to people like me, but you were generously kind, and I've never forgotten it. Folks, I've got his bio here. I'm going to pick up on it as we go through. He's been recognized for his success in business and academics. He joins Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak and Netflix's co-founder Mark Rudolph as members of the in-residency faculty of High Point University. There's so much more to this. This is going to be a wonderful conversation. Scott, thank you so much for your time and welcome to What's Working.
Again, I'm honored that you would ask, and I've really been looking forward to this. So I appreciate the chance to just hang with you for a little bit here today.
I'm looking forward to it as well. And I want to get quickly into some of the terms, I guess, that I see in your bio and in your promotional material that I see online. The word iconic is mentioned frequently. The word distinction is mentioned frequently. You've seemed to have carved a niche for yourself in the marketplace on how to be iconic and how to be distinctive. If you would, let's jump in right there. What do those words mean and how are you utilizing them?
Well, distinction to me is being the go-to within your category. You know, one of the things I tell my clients is that we tend to think that customers choose us, but that's not the total picture. Customers choose us as opposed to the other alternatives that are available to them in the marketplace. And by the way, one of those alternatives obviously is not doing anything. But why would a customer choose you instead of the other alternatives in the marketplace? And that's fascinated me. The background on that is I went through a personal tragedy with the loss of my wife to cancer several years ago. And I left the business for a couple of years just to be a caregiver. And I was trying to get back into, you know, getting clients interested in getting back into speaking. And the challenge I was facing is, you know, I asked my clients, you know, Jeff Bezos said, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room, which meant I couldn't be in the room to hear it. Right. So I called speakers bureaus and I called clients and I said, when you recommend me, what do you say? And almost unanimously, they said, hey, we tell people you're a good speaker and a nice guy. Well, that's wonderful. You know, I want to be a good speaker and I hope I'm a nice guy. But that's not what customers are buying.
Right.
And so I started researching what would help me stand out in the marketplace. And the blinding flash, the obvious was that, you know, if I needed this for my small business, what are the chances that other businesses might need to know this as well? And so I started studying what would make you stand out within your respective marketplace. So fast forward, a client, Fairmont Hotels, heard about what I was, you know, what I was doing. And I get a call from Jack Miller, who is the CEO of the Fairmont Scottsdale Princess and over many of the Fairmont hotels in America. And he said, well, you know, we're having the same experience. He said, go on TripAdvisor and see how many dots there are on the map when you search for Scottsdale Resort. Why would they pick us instead of Phoenician or the Four Seasons or whatever? So we did some work with them. And part of what we came to understand was you don't create a distinctive business. You know, if you're a resort, you have a distinctive check-in experience. And how do you make the gift shop unique, distinctive? And how do you And the sum of that creates a distinctive organization. So we went through all that and it was very, very successful. And we're having breakfast one morning and he says, so what's next?
Mm.
And I realized, you know, I'd studied how to create it, but not how to keep it or not how to get it back.
Right.
You know, if you lost it or what's the next? And Jack jokingly laughed and said, well, next we'll become iconic. And that was another, you know, light bulb over the head moment.
Yeah.
And I realized that what iconic is you're so distinctive, you transcend your category.
So let's pause a moment. Let's back up. I want to make sure I'm tracking this. When, in order to become distinctive, to earn distinction, it sounds like your focus became on some of the smallest, most elemental interactions that the hotel's team could have with customers. And it was small, genuine things. Were there any parts of design of the hotel that you talked about, or lighting or room temperature, or anything, those other things, or was it all human interaction?
That's a great question, Cam, and in part because, okay, so the first impression, you know, is when you walk in to check in. And I remember speaking with one of the folks there about it, and it was like, okay, we're really going to change we'll have more chandeliers. We'll put in more marble. We're really going to upgrade this. And then, you know, as somebody that travels a lot as you do, as I do, we've seen chandeliers and we've seen marble in hotel lobbies. They were thinking like hospitality executives.
Oh, they were thinking right in their category.
Right. And so I said, but let's shift this and think about what is the customer? You know, and let's flip it. Why do I want to go home? Why would I want to leave here and go home? What's great? And so we talk about all the great things about coming home, you know, the home cooked meal, sleeping in your own bed.
Right.
And somebody said, well, what I love is I walk in and my dogs go crazy. My dogs love me.
Right.
It makes me feel at home. And so one of the things that they have done is they have a trainer and they have golden retrievers that have been trained, and you go to check in the Fairmont Scottsdale Princess, and the handler is very good. Matter of fact, he just won the Arizona Hospitality Employee of the Year Award. Now you think about all the hospitality employees in Arizona.
No,
that's a
kidding.
Heck of an honor, right? He's the guy that won it, and he's very good at telling, you know, because some people just don't want to be around dogs. I think they should be locked up, but that is how some people are.
Right.
But he's very good at being sensitive of whether or not, you know, you're comfortable with that. And the dogs come up and they're wagging their tails and you pet them and they're so happy that you're checking in and that you're staying there at their hotel. And it changes the experience.
Yeah.
It makes it personal. It makes it different. And so that's an example of one of the things that I see constantly is we think we're going to make our business distinctive by thinking more like what we already do, as opposed to thinking, what are the things that are of value to our customers? I tell a story of a taxi cab driver in Jacksonville, Florida, that I got in and he had an iPhone on his dash and it was set to weather.com and he could tell you what the forecast was going to be for your stay.
Yeah.
Now, look, I can find that on my own phone, but the fact that he thought of something unexpected for the customer to be of assistance during our visit, not just during our trip, made all the difference in the world.
How hard is it for a customer or let's say a business to begin thinking this way? So we've got this Fairmont and there's so many elements to the client experience, to the way the bed is made, the roll down, perhaps the way the interaction happens at the front desk. There's, I think you and I could rattle off 24 guest interactions at a hotel, but what about a plumber? I was just dealing with an electrician at my house earlier today. What are these things? How hard is it for them to think this way?
Oh, it's incredibly hard because no one gets into, I did a bunch of work with folks that were in the car repair business, body shops, right?
Yeah.
Nobody starts a body shop because they really want to focus on customers. They get in the body shop business because they want to fix cars.
Right, right.
And so this customer interaction aspect is not a natural part of what people that are attracted to that particular profession go through. And so particularly for entrepreneurs, that makes it even more difficult for us to think in this manner because, hey, here's the other thing for a small business, which is how I grew up in a rural community and my folks own the small town grocery store, you know, you're thinking more about, hey, are we going to have enough hamburger ground for the Memorial Day weekend?
Right.
Not on how can we make it easier for our customers to do business with.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a fundamental challenge.
It is a fundamental challenge, and it's one that we're going to continue to explore after we come back from break. Folks, Scott McCain is on the other side of a Zoom call with me. He's a generous and kind man. He thinks about things differently. I'm a fan, and when we come back, we're going to dig deeper into this topic of distinction and then move on to iconic. You're listening to What's Working. We'll be back right after this.
This is Bill Eastet. I perfected my baking recipe behind my live music stage at my little restaurant in Fair Hope, Alabama. We have custom-made smokers and small-batch bacon made just for you. So if you're looking for the best bacon in America that has been cured, smoked, and even serenaded by songwriters, you definitely need to try Billy's Small Batch Bacon. www.billysbacon.com.
Scott McCain's on the other side of a call with me. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. I'll continue to pull from his bio here. He joins Seth Godin, Dale Carnegie, and Zig Ziglar as one of only 30 members of the Sales and Marketing Hall of Fame. And he's been honored with induction into the Professional Speakers Hall of Fame. I'm saving the big component of your bio here for last, Scott. It's the one we'll open the next segment with. We were talking about distinction. And the difficulty, and I think you make a wonderful point here, of an entrepreneur, and we'll take my electrician who was at my house today, who has studied to become an electrician and is good at practicing the trade of being an electrician. And now he's tasked with trying to get way outside of his comfort zone with forecasting things that will make a difference to the customer. And my suspicion is in your time, Scott, of teaching this, you have developed some ways of thinking that you can equip a hypothetical electrician with how to better understand your customer. Could you lead us through those?
Sure, you bet. And there's two different tracks that I take here. One is to get them to start describing the best customer experience they've had outside of their industry. And just make a list, and we get really granular with it. What happened? Well, they welcomed me when I walked in, or they answered the phone within the first couple of rings. And we can make a very detailed list of what our best customer experiences have been like. And then the obvious thing is you say, so how many of these are you doing for your customers?
Right.
Well,
right.
My customers are different, or, well, I've never thought of it that way before. And that's usually the one I hear, Cam, is that, you know, I haven't thought of it that way before. Well, because I don't know why it is, but when we go into work, we put on our business owner hat or our manager hat, and it is very difficult for us to do what psychologists call transpositional thinking, which is just a fancy way of, you know, putting ourselves in somebody else's shoes and really thinking about what would be of value to that particular customer.
Yeah.
And it works regardless of the size of the business. I can't recall the numbers just off the top of my head, but I saw where Procter & Gamble really increased the sales of Tide when they put it, was it in a jug that was easier to carry?
I mean, you know. Things that you would think would be somewhat common sense,
yeah.
But in an industry where things have been ironed out and repeated for generations,
yeah.
Putting a handle on a jug of detergent may seem simple to you and me, but we lived with it without that,
yeah.
and didn't seem to miss it.
And they spend millions of dollars on chemists and chemical research and to make a better detergent. And really, we just wanted a way to carry that jug a little easier, you know, the product a little easier. So those are the kinds of things that whether you're a small solopreneur or running a big organization, it's incredibly difficult for us to think in one particular way when our training has been in another. One of the examples I'm working with now is with a group in healthcare. Because you can go to medical school You can do your residency. You can become a surgeon and never have taken a single class on the bedside manner.
I don't think any of them ever have.
And
this is not a road we don't want to go down. I do these commentaries for public radio, and my commentary 2 weeks ago was about my recent healthcare experience and how disappointing it was.
Yeah.
So I think you're right there. We train people in our society to be experts in their field. We don't ask them to get out of their expertise and to examine it from a different point of view. And it sounds like, from what you're telling me, the ones that do are the ones that create these service experiences that you and I remember so well.
I was speaking to an executive in the malpractice insurance industry, and I said, how do you tell if a doctor is any good or not? You know, and does it affect their premium? And the response was instant. It was, that has very little to do with it. It's the empathy they show and the experience they create for their patient.
Yeah.
A doctor can make a mistake, and if you convince that they care about you, you're not going to sue them. But if they don't care and you're just handled like a number, I'm using that as an example, but it's true in any business. Gartner came out with a research not long ago that said that customers are getting to the point that if they have one bad experience, they'll never come back.
Yeah.
How dangerous is that, right?
That's got to be down from, you know, what was the number previous to that? 4 or 5 bad experiences, they've never come back,
right.
And now it's
getting
just
shorter.
One.
The number's getting smaller every year.
Yeah.
And part of that's because now we have, if we think about, put our customer hat on for a minute, man, there's more alternatives than there's ever been before.
True.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I can get what you're selling someplace else, so why would I choose you? And that's the fundamental question we have to answer.
So let's assume that there's someone with us right now, and they're going down this path that you suggested a moment ago of really go into detail of the best customer experience they've ever had as the recipient of service outside of their industry. And let's assume that they made a list of 25 things that they experienced that made it a remarkable experience. Is your advice then to say 2 of them, 3 of them, 15 of them? What do you, because somebody's out there is going to do this exercise. What do you tell them to do after that?
Yeah, you won't do everything, but you can do a couple of things is basically what I say. I mean, none of us, let's face it, if we're in business, none of us have the time to implement the 57 things that we're going to make on that list.
So right.
Pick 2. And you know, I tell the story of the Taylor family in St. Louis that started a little rental car business to compete with Hertz and Avis. You know where I'm going.
I know of that family. I've met some of those people.
And the
yes.
product is exactly the same.
Yes.
The Ford I get from Hertz is identical to the Ford that I would get from Avis. And they just said, well, what are we doing with customers? What's one thing we could change? What if we bring the car to them instead of making them go get the car?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
As you know, Cam, it's Enterprise. That was the beginning of Enterprise Rental Car. The car is exactly the same. There's zero product variation. And now Enterprise is bigger than Hertz.
Yeah. Yeah.
But get this. So Jeff Bezos says, how do I get it so you don't have to go to Barnes & Noble or Borders, remember them, and get the book? And hey, if it works for books, it'll work for anything.
For anything.
Right. So how do I become the enterprise? The question really was, how do I become the enterprise rental car of books? I'm speaking to a group of dentists, and I had a dentist come up to me, and he said, I wanted to be the Amazon of dentistry. And I'm thinking, what, I send you my teeth? What's that? He built trailers. And so you call, and they pull a trailer into your cul-de-sac, and you walk out of your house, and the complete equipped dental office is in a small trailer waiting in your cul-de-sac.
No kidding.
He said, I can't build trailers or hire dentists quickly.
So, wow.
How do you implement just one of these ideas? It can make an extraordinary, extraordinary difference.
Give me a sense of who out there today, Scott. We mentioned that one Fairmont hotel. What was it? Scottsdale Princess you were talking
Fairmont,
about?
Fairmont Scottsdale Princess. Uh-huh.
Give me a sense of someone else out there who you walk through the door and you think, oh, they seem to get it here. Is there another one that so many of the listeners can relate to?
I'll give you an example of one. And one of the problems, Cam, that I try to avoid is everybody talks about Amazon and Southwest Airlines and Apple.
Apple all the time.
All those kinds of things. I want to give you one that just knocks me out every time I'm there. As you know, I'm originally from Indiana. St. Elmo Steakhouse in Indianapolis. Have you ever eaten at St.
Elmo? No, but I love it already.
They have, what they did is they have 2 different things. in terms of they have a product that gets people talking. Our buddy Jay Baer calls those talk triggers. So what are you doing that people would talk about? You check in a DoubleTree hotel, they give you a warm chocolate chip cookie. Yeah. The cookie has nothing to do with the hotel, but it's something that people talk about, right? St. Omo's has cocktail sauce for their shrimp cocktail that legend has it. I don't know if it's true or not, but legend has it that the people have to wear gas masks in the basement as they're mixing this stuff up because there's so much horseradish in it.
Yeah.
They would pass out if they went. This stuff will set you free. I mean, it is unbelievable hot. But the main thing is they made each waiter what they call an intrapreneur, not an entrepreneur, but an intrapreneur. So each waiter is additionally compensated on giving his or her business card to the table. Call me when you want to come back. I want to have you in my section. And so every waiter is there trying to recruit, and it changed the business in an incredible way that I've got to tell you more about when we come back.
That's the story I want to hear. I'm on with Scott McCain, customer service, sales icon in the business, just sharing stories. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to What's Working.
This is Seth Cherniak, Vice President of Branch Development for the Jeffrey Mathews Financial Group. If you're an experienced financial advisor wanting the freedom of independence but aren't sure making that jump is right for you, we should talk. Jeffrey Mathews has developed a successful program for advisors who don't want to be 1099 contractors and don't want to pay for their own overhead. We're looking for advisors who want the freedom to run their business the way they see fit, with the support that comes with a W-2 firm. If you're interested in joining one of our branches, or if you want to open your own branch as a full-time employee, let's chat. Our compensation plan is one of the most competitive among all W-2 firms, big or small. Reach out to us today at jeffreymathews.com, connect with me, Seth Cherniak, on LinkedIn, or click the link in the podcast.
Jeffrey Mathews Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC. I'm on with Scott McCain. You're listening to What's Working. Scott, prior to the break, there was a perfect cliffhanger. We were talking about the horseradish sauce and the gas masks, and then the waiter's handing the card, and it's changed the nature of the business. Pick it up there. This is very interesting to me.
Well, this will seem like a non sequitur, right? This doesn't seem like it. So a couple tours ago, the Rolling Stones announced their tour schedule. And as you might imagine, two nights in L.A., two nights in New York, two nights in Chicago, but other places, Phoenix, Dallas got one night, Indianapolis got two nights. Nobody could figure out how come Philadelphia, Atlanta gets one night, Indy gets two nights, until Keith Richards said, well, we want to eat twice at St. Elmo. When the Stones are changing their tour schedule to do business with you twice, you're distinctive. You stand out. And so what they said is, how do we make serving, which, you know, it's typically, you know, it's a side hustle or it's what you're doing to pay your way through college. How do we make that a profession? How do we have these folks take their jobs so that they're invested in what we do? So there's the other side of it is we talk about how do we make it the place that the customer wants to do business. In today's world, we've got to make it the place where the employee wants to learn and stay and grow.
It's increasingly challenging. And my clients are complaining about that all the time. A conference call this morning. How do we reduce our turnover? It's at 16% right now, and we're trying to eliminate it. And it sounds like, let me see if I can paraphrase, how do we give this to them to do, to say, what do you need to stay here? And is that the conversation that St. Elmo's had with their waitstaff?
Yeah, the CEO of St. Elmo's business said, you know, we got tired of saying, you know, people today don't want to work. What we realized is maybe people don't want to work for you.
Yeah.
You know, the Apple store doesn't have any trouble recruiting people. I mean, there's a lot of places that have no problem recruiting people. Now, look, there are some jobs that are easier to recruit for than others.
Sure.
I get that. But I, you know, there's a guy in Phoenix that I had lunch with a couple months ago, and he owns a garage door repair company.
Yeah.
And they have like 5% turnover fixing garage doors because he makes it a great place to work. And so part of what we talked about was the principles of distinction. And there's four cornerstones. It's clarity, being clear about what you are. Creativity, finding a unique take on it. Communication, which is telling a story, not just giving the features and benefits of what makes you great. It's telling a story about how what you do has impacted a customer, and a focus on the customer experience. So clarity, creativity, communication, customer experience focus. And he said, you know, we tend to think of it as the owner's job to create distinction. He said, I got to have my frontline people creating distinction. There's a plumber in Indianapolis, a chain of plumbers, and, you know, pardon the language, but they advertise this on the radio. It says, we'll show up on time, we'll be clean, and you won't see our butt crack. And, you know, they have special shirts that have long tails. They put cologne in the plumber's cars and they spritz themselves before they go in.
Uh-huh.
But you think about somebody alone in the house, male or female, and the plumber's going to come in and you don't know them. But if they show up and they're professional and they smell good and they look good, and that, you know, it's thinking about all this from the customer's point of view. And then how do we get our team to buy into it and incentivize them to deliver this distinctive experience in a way that keeps customers coming back?
Yeah, that incentive component, it would seem like finding a service-oriented individual is always a challenge. There are tests that I've heard people do and things of this nature. You can take personality and tests, and then you can just watch them in the lobby as they wait or if the appointment runs late. But to find that service-oriented mindset and then create an incentive on top of that can be very, very powerful. Is there a way, Scott, that you're familiar with people that have found people who are technically capable but don't exactly have the service-oriented mindset? Do they keep them in the back? Do they, you know, you're good, but we're not letting you near the customer? Is there a way to fix these people?
Boy, that to me is one of the most difficult questions in business, Cam.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, there's a buddy of mine that had a training company, and he used to say, if you hire a dud and you train them, you end up with a trained dud.
That's right. I've heard that.
You know,
something
there
similar.
There are some people that we have to give them the opportunity to infect another company, not ours.
Yeah.
If they just don't like people, if they just don't like being around customers, all the education and training and incentive in the world is not going to turn that person around.
Yeah. I get a request from my clients frequently, which is, Cam, please come in and fix our people. And I thought, you know, I don't know how good I am. I know I'm capable at what I'm doing, but fixing your people is a big ask. It might have been a hiring mistake versus anything that I can fix. Of course, I don't tell them that, but it's a constant challenge. Finding that service mindset is a constant challenge. I told everybody in the previous segment, Scott, that I was going to hold off on this last accolade, and I want to make sure I get it because it's fun, and I wonder if there's not a story. It's time now to meet Scott McCain outside of the public persona that you deliver so well. Scott has appeared on platforms in all 50 United States and 38 additional countries, from Mexico to Morocco, from Singapore to Sweden, from the lawn of the White House with the president in attendance. Tell me about that.
Oh, man, that was one of the incredible experiences. I was given a speech in Indianapolis when I lived there, and doesn't this seem like the kind of thing you might warn a speaker about? I walk out, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is at one of the front tables. And it was all I could do not to stop my speech and go, do you know who you are? You know, I was just terrified. And after the speech, he said, man, I really love that. He said, someday we will work together.
Really?
And I thought, well, how nice, you know, but you know, everything. And he called me and he said, I am the chairman of the President's Council on Fitness and Sports. We are having the Great American Workout on the lawn of the White House and with President Bush. And I want you to emcee the program for me and do a little bit of the speech that I heard. And it was surreal. I mean, to stand on the stage and there's the president, and the first lady, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and tons of famous people in the audience and all of that. It was a surreal experience. But you know, the funny thing about it, though, Cam, is it's almost like muscle memory. I mean, you know this very well. The hardest thing was getting started. Once you get started, then right. You're kind of doing what you do, what you're familiar with. But it was a very surreal experience. But the cool thing is people could not have been nicer. It was an extraordinary experience.
So is there, let's take the White House, for example. Maybe you got a brush with the White House. Was there anything distinct or iconic that you saw at the White House? It seems like these people have an opportunity to make a powerful impact on somebody like you, who can then go out and tell your story to perhaps give favor to the president at the time. Was there something that you experienced there?
The best experience for me was when I was 20 years old, I was a national officer of FFA.
Yeah.
Back then it was Future Farmers of America. Now it's FFA because they've expanded in so many other, agricultural, but not production agriculture related programs. And one of my best pals from FFA worked at the White House then. And so he gave me kind of the behind the scenes aspect of it. And my impression of the White House and what the actual working conditions there are were totally wrong. The offices are small. It's cramped. Regardless of what and we're very polarized politically in this country, but regardless of where you are politically, the impressive thing to me was the incredible sacrifice that these people make, both from a financial standpoint and from just the surroundings of where they work in terms of the size of their office, their staff, or whatever. People are committed. And so then the question is, how do we get the people that work for us to be as committed as the people that do those kinds of activities? We can do it. It's being distinctive.
Where do people find you if they want to check you out further?
It's scottmccain.com, McCain, scottmccain.com, and all the info about everything I do is there, and you can connect with me personally there as well.
And all 7 books are listed there as well. Scott, thank you so much. I'm truly, truly grateful.
Great being with you. Thank you.
We'll have final comments after this break. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Be right back.
I'm Joey Mason. For 4 years, my goal has been to produce the best farm-to-table products I'd ever eaten. I've done just that at our on-site USDA facility in Grand Bay, Alabama, allowing us to ship directly to your door. This is true farm-to-table. Visit us at masonhillsfarm.com to see all that we have to offer.
Wow, what a great conversation. Grateful as ever, as all my guests, for Scott for spending so much time on the phone with me, on a Zoom call, helping me understand how he sees the world of customer service. Imagine now, if you and I were to take the top customer service experience we've ever had and elementize it. I don't think that's a word, but break it down component by component of what made that experience so successful, what would that list include? And then what could we take from that list to apply to our own business? So what could I take from the list and apply to a radio show? The interaction with my guests, the interaction with my sponsors, the advertisers that you hear on the show, the interactions I have with my editors and the team that helped me put this together. What is the opportunity to take this product of mine, this business of mine, to the next level? Because Scott was very clear, and he's very right about me, in that my focus is on building the show, finding the guests, scheduling the guests, finding the advertisers, getting the advertisers commit. What is the next step to make the customer experience of the show that much better? And I don't know. I don't know. That's a conversation. I mean, if you have any thoughts and insights, send them to me. I'd be very interested in how to apply a new way of thinking of building this show. I want to remind everybody about the book report we're going to do. This will be in, where did I write this down? Mid-June. You can hear the show in mid-June, the kind of the middle weekend in June, where this show is typically broadcast on Saturdays and Sundays. The book is called The Author versus the Editor Dilemma. Actually, The Author versus Editor Dilemma, The Leadership Secret to Unlocking Your Team, Your Time, and Your Impact. The author, Brandon Smith, is going to be on a call with me. I will have read the book, highly notated it. I've got it here. It's got a little post-it notes throughout already as I'm notating it. And we'll have a executive coach as well as one of the executive coach's students, I guess is what it is, talking about how this book is influencing them in their day-to-day business functions. So what I want you to do is go out there and get the book. Read it. Send me your questions. Be prepared to participate in this conversation, and I will make sure your questions of the author, Brandon Smith, get brought to his attention, and we can discuss them on the show. Kind of the first thing we're doing as an interactive show or an interactive conversation about a book on the show, and I hope you'll join us. What's Working continues to go into new markets, into new territories, and I hope you'll continue to support us like you have. If you want to find any of the previous episodes, I'll give you the podcast link right now. Go to whatsworkingcam.com. Again, whatsworkingcam.com, where you can find this show as well as previous shows, and subscribe to them on all the different podcast platforms that are available out there. We continue to enjoy doing this. Well over 300 episodes now. Can't believe it's gone that far. But there always seems to be fun, wonderful people to learn from. And that's why I enjoy it so much. So that'll wrap us up for this week. Find Cam Marston on your social media. You can follow me, learn a little bit more about the show in that way. And I post inappropriate things all too often. That should be a cliffhanger for you to go find that social media stuff. You're listening to What's Working. Have a good week, everybody. As you likely know, this show originates as a radio show broadcast across the state of Alabama, and it continues to grow in both radio listeners and market. After it's formatted for radio, we then turn it into this podcast. Please share it with those you think would find it interesting and subscribe to the podcast on my YouTube page where you can leave messages and your thoughts and your comments, and I'll certainly get back in touch. Finally, if you're a fan of the show, please offer a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can find my book called What Works on Amazon.com. In it, I highlight the top 10 ideas from the first 200 episodes of the show. Mind you, they're not the top 10 best episodes. They're the top 10 best ideas. Many times the same ideas are brought up again and again by different guests, and we dig into those ideas in such a way that they'll be easily applicable for your business. Simply go to Amazon and enter my name, and you'll find What Works as well as my other books. Chapter titles include How to Find a Niche, Innovation, Building Teams, and so forth. To learn more about the workshops and seminars I offer, go to cammarston.com. There you can view clips of my work, view workshop titles, view my reviews, case studies, customer lists. It's all there. If you'd like a free copy of one of the chapters of my book, enter your email address at the bottom of the homepage at cammarston.com. And from that site, you can email me directly. I always love to hear from you. You'll also find me on social media. Find Cam Marston on all the social media platforms, and you may need to enter the numeral one. There's one other Cam Marston out there, and that numeral one distinguishes me from him from time to time. So if you're unsure if it's me or not, enter that numeral one after my name, and it should do the trick. On a more personal and less professional side, I record weekly commentaries that air across Alabama on Alabama Public Radio twice each day on Fridays called Keeping It Real. They've won statewide and national awards. They're simple observations on the world as it goes on around me, and they're only a few minutes long. They're a passion. You can find them on the same podcast app you're using to listen to this. Finally, if you're interested in advertising on this podcast or the radio show, reach out. I've worked hard to cultivate a specific listener, and I can tell you all about them, and I have many different options for helping you reach them. Thanks again for listening. We'll have another episode available soon.